It's been 60 years since workers inside a Manchester textile mill began getting sick with a mysterious illness. Over a period of weeks, four of these mill workers would die, sparking a massive public health investigation. Eventually, the entire mill building would be torn down. NHPR's Todd Bookman takes a look back now at the events surrounding the 1957 outbreak of anthrax in Manchester.
Antonio Jetti was a middle-aged, medium-sized guy. He worked inside the cardroom at the Arms textile mill.
And the cardroom is a place where all the wool comes in little bunches.
This is Jetti's daughter, Anita Simons.
And it works down through these machines, and it comes out as one strand of yarn.
Simons also worked in the Manchester mill yard.
In fact, I worked in the same mill as he did for a while. I was a weaver.
Today, Simons is 90 years old, no longer a weaver. In September of 1957, though, she was 30 years old, pregnant with her fourth child, and she vividly remembers her dad's illness. It started on Labor Day weekend. Jetti had a fever, no appetite, no energy, and a cough. On Thursday, September 5th, he woke up early for Mass. Then, still not feeling well, he went back home.
He went upstairs, he fell across the bed, and when my sister came home at noon, he was unconscious on the bed, and the doctor came.
By evening, Jetti was transported to St. Joseph Hospital in Nashua with a fever of 105 degrees, his breathing rapid and shallow. Anita and her six siblings and her mom held a vigil at his bedside.
And that's it. He never woke up.
Antonio Jetti, an otherwise healthy 49-year-old employee of the Arms textile mill, died on the morning of September 6th. Can I ask, what did the doctors think had caused this?
They didn't know, and neither did my mother know. I think they put cerebral hemorrhage on the death certificate.
It wasn't a cerebral hemorrhage. Antonio Jetti, along with two other men and one woman, all employees at the Arms Mill, died after inhaling anthrax. How and why that happened would take some time to figure out.
I've written a book about anthrax entitled Death in a Small Package.
Susan Jones is a professor at the University of Minnesota and a specialist in zoonotic diseases. Zoonotic meaning diseases transmitted between animals and humans. To understand how anthrax got inside the Arms textile mill, you have to understand how anthrax lives, how this bacteria exists in the world. Jones says picture a field and a herd of cattle grazing. Anthrax can be hidden on the grass. The cow eats it, gets sick, and dies.
One of the things that the disease does is to cause a great deal of bleeding from all the bodily orifices after death. And that blood contains a lot of bacilli, spills out over the grass. Slowly but surely, the carcass rots, goes away. Other animals come along, eat the grass, and you can see that life cycle continuing in this way.
Susan, you've made this even more horrifying than I thought it could be.
That's what you get for talking with a veterinarian.
So that's the terrible way animals get and die from the anthrax bacteria. In humans, there are three different sources.
The first is you can eat it in infected meat. That's very rare in the United States. Or you can get it into an open wound in the skin called the cutaneous form of anthrax. And the third way, and the most deadly way, is inhalational anthrax.
Inhaling it is, of course, how most of us know about anthrax, as a biological weapon stuffed inside of an envelope or a package. More on that in a minute. Cutaneous anthrax, the second form, is much more common. It causes a nasty-looking black sore to form on the skin. And this was actually a well-known hazard inside textile mills in the era. It even had a name, wool sorter's disease. Still, in 1957 at the Arms Mill, Susan Jones says it took investigators a while to figure out the cause. And that was in part because the men and women getting sick worked in different parts of the building.
Some of them worked at the beginning of the process, opening the bales. Some of them worked during the weaving process. Some of them removed bits of wool and hair from the machines. The only thing they had in common was that they had all participated in the processing of a single shipment of Pakistani goat hair.
A single batch of dark-colored Pakistani goat hair. Hair that was used to make the lining of men's jackets. As the goat hair worked its way through the arms mill, the anthrax spores were sent airborne, floating down like confetti on the workers. In total, 9 people became sick, 5 with inhalation anthrax, and 4 more with skin lesions. It was the first epidemic of its kind in U.S. history. And it actually could have been worse, except for a remarkable twist. In 1957, the United States Army, along with the CDC, happened to be testing a potential anthrax vaccine. And those tests were taking place at 4 textile mills, including the arms mill.
So it was pure luck that it happened. You know, luck is maybe not the right word, but it was pure coincidence that they happened to have the outbreak here when they were testing the vaccine.
This is Suzanne DeBella Olson with the Manchester Historic Association. When scientists realized what was happening, they halted their trial and gave the vaccine to every worker at the arms mill. And no one else got sick. In fact, that experimental vaccine became the basis for the one given today to soldiers. As for the arms mill, they kept right on rolling for another decade, until in 1968, when the company went out of business.
So the building in 1971 was taken down. It was one of the largest decontamination projects in the world at the time.
Men in white suits sprayed the inside with chlorine and formaldehyde. An incinerator was brought on site to the mill yard.
And then they took the building down and buried the bricks off site.
And that was that. But of course, this wasn't the end for anthrax.
America strikes back. Anthrax.
Rare inhaled form of anthrax.
The nation after anthrax is found at a facility.
The anthrax letters, arriving shortly after 9/11, killed 5 people. They were eventually traced to a government scientist, but not before ramping up panic in a country already consumed by it. A few years later, that fear would reemerge, this time back in Manchester. Construction was underway on a new baseball stadium. It was being built on the site where bricks from the arms textile mill were buried. Utility workers did actually hit those bricks while sinking some electric poles, which prompted more tests and a few scary headlines. But in the end, no one got sick. Tim Soucy is the city's public health director.
You know, I think it was driven by fear and not by science at the time, to be honest with you. Because we knew the history of these bricks and the level of decontamination that they had gone through, there was really, you know, can you ever say zero risk? No, but probably as close to zero as you could get.
Antonio Getty, in 1957, probably didn't rate his risk of dying from anthrax as all that likely either. His daughter, Anita Simons, says the whole scenario just didn't make any sense.
We didn't even know what anthrax was.
Her family eventually came to understand that the spores had been hiding inside of goat hair where Jetty worked, that they were released into the air and then took away her dad. For NHPR News, I'm Todd Bookman.
Special thanks to the Manchester Historic Association, which has an exhibit dedicated to public health in that city on display through Saturday, June 24th.